Hi, this is Jim Swilly. Welcome to Metron Live. Metron is a Greek word that means sphere of influence. I believe in living your best life possible, and that's the reason for this podcast. This is my Metron. Now let me help you discover yours. Welcome to the Metron Live podcast, coming to you from beautiful historic Midtown Atlanta. Metron people, please give the podcast people a big welcome. We're glad that you're here. And those of you that listen, thank you for your feedback. I really appreciate when you send me good words. And glad to know that it's a blessing to you. Starting a new series today. Let me go ahead and give you the title, and I'll just start somewhere, get into it. I'm calling it Manifesting the Breath of Life, Embracing the Transition from Living Soul to Life-Giving Spirit. And I'll go ahead and give you the scripture for this. This is a passage from 1 Corinthians 15, and it's where Paul's specifically talking about the resurrection. He talks about how there's different types of bodies. There's terrestrial bodies. There's celestial bodies. He talks about how the body is sown in weakness, but it's raised in power. And he says, I'm just using this out of the New King James Version, beginning in verse 35. 1 Corinthians 15, he says, but someone will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain, but God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And this is where I'm taking my title from. I've always loved just the, Paul was a great writer anyway, but I love the equilibrium of the way he used these words. He says, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. If you've got the 1611 King James, is living soul. And the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. In here to the Corinthians and to the Romans is where he gives this whole essay about, he calls Jesus the last Adam. There was a first Adam, there was a last Adam. And I'm taking this sort of from a different place this month, and I know you'll understand where I'm going with this, because I've been thinking about breath, I've been thinking about harmony. Doc posted something from Taoism last week about the yin and the yang. If you've ever seen that black and white thing with the it means there's a dualism in everything. There's a hot and a cold. There's a young and an old. It's kind of the more Eastern concept of Solomon saying to everything there is a season, you know, that sort of thing. But where I want to take this month, talking about breath specifically, and I've been thinking about it a lot this past year because meditation is so much about breath, about breathing. Why is it important to breathe? I recently just got an Apple Watch, and it just came with this app that tells you to breathe. And it's interesting, a couple of times, even last night, I didn't tell you this, we had an alarm at 2 a.m. this morning, for those of you that came in late. It was a problem with the sprinkler head, but we still have to evacuate. So it's walking down 7 flights of stairs with people with their dogs and their babies, and you're dodging. It's like water's pouring out, so I don't know, is the building on fire or whatever? And it's honestly happened so much that nobody even gets upset about it now. We're just like, you know, here we go. And but it was stressful, you know, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and then it happened again at 4 a.m. But we got up and got dressed for that one, and as we were walking out the door, the alarm stopped. So, you know, it is what it is. And it did occur to me, I need to speak to the speaker system, you know, sprinkler system, and tell it, whatever's going on with you, cut it out. But when we got back to the room, you know, I was just charged up. You know, he went and laid down, but I was like, I've got to simmer down a minute, you know, just because, not that I was upset, it's just 2 o'clock in the morning when you're awakened out of a sound sleep with a deafening alarm, you know, it's raises your stress level a little. And so I just sat in my chair and I was looking at my phone or whatever, and all of a sudden, I don't know if it just picks up if you're whatever, but I felt it vibrate, my watch. I looked and it says, breathe. Now is a good time to take a breath and relax. And I thought, you know what? Actually, this is a great time. Thank you. And I need to, it was just an interesting reminder. Like, yeah, you're right. It's not, again, it's, I only posted a picture of it, not because I'm even really complaining about it. I just document my life, and this is an event that happened, and we're out here, so I'll take a picture. I caught Ken right in mid-yawn. It was perfect. Perfect picture. But I was thinking about breath and why is that important, and also thinking about the concept of inhaling and exhaling and balance and hot and cold and all that kind of thing. And when we've talked before about the miraculous, you know, I've used this quote so many, the Albert Einstein quote, two ways to live your life. One is as though nothing is a miracle. The other is as though everything is a miracle. When I say it's miraculous that we've had, in just a little over a year's time, we've done 7 very successful trips. Each one has defied what the weather reports have said. I mean, now some people would say, oh, well, that's just averages. That's the law of averages and, you know, whatever. Other people would say it's miraculous. And I always say this when I talk about these, that when, you know, the scripture in the book of Acts, when the God speaks out of heaven, there was an audience there. And some people said it thundered. Well, some people said it's the voice of an angel. Some people said it's the voice of God. Other people said it just thundered. Somewhere right around this chapter, it talks about Jesus appearing to around 500 people after the resurrection. And it says, I cannot read this without laughing. It says, many believed, comma, but some doubted. I mean, I got to tell you, if I was a resurrected Jesus, I'd go smack somebody. I'd be like, seriously? I've been in the grave for 3 days, you can see nail prints in my hand, and so you're going like, I don't know, maybe. You know, like, what the heck? You know, at least say, you know, I didn't believe him anything, but that raising from the dead thing, that's pretty impressive. Well, you know, like some people are like, nah, I don't get it. So what it shows to me is that people live in completely different worlds. There are some people that don't look for miracles. They never have miracles. They don't see miracles. And when miracles come and hit them upside the head, they say it only thundered. And if that's their paradigm, you can't get them out of it. You know what I mean? What I've noticed is the people who refuse to accept that it's a miracle, if you tell them something's a miracle, they double down and they are like, they become anti-miracle. Like Francis had posted something the other day about, again, kind of like time travel. Like she got home, like it was too quick to get. No, I'm talking about even before that. It was about the package that you ordered. That a package order came. That it's like there's no way it could have gotten here this quick. Well, somebody wrote on there. Yeah, well they're becoming so sophisticated in their delivery, which may be true. But there's always somebody that wants to bring you back into the margin of now. Don't get too fancy, man. Yeah, I mean, it was really, I mean, after I read that, I thought, you know, I've ordered something. We were out of town. I said, I've ordered something. I wonder if it's going to be back. And it was back. And I looked at the thing. I thought that it nearly looked like they had sent it before I ordered it. Like if you did the math, I was like, how is that even possible? Aside from drones or whatever, even if they had gotten the order and driven it straight to my house, I still don't, they couldn't have gotten there. Now, some people say, oh, you got the time wrong or whatever. Fine. If that's the world you want to live in, knock yourself out with your sad little gray, black and white, pitiful world. If that's the world you've created, you live in it, baby. There's just more for me on the other side. But I'm going to see miracles everywhere, and I notice the more I see them, the more they happen. And this thing about breathing, I've heard people say this before. They said, I tried your little thing of speaking of the weather, and it didn't happen. It didn't work for me. And I'm like, well, it's because you tried that little thing. You're approaching it like it's a magic trick. It all goes back to, you know, the most famous thing Yoda ever said in all of the Star Wars franchise is, do not try, do. There is no try. Do or do not. There is no try. Excuse me. Thank you. Thank you, Star Wars nerds. Do or do not. There is no try. God forbid that I misquote Yoda. But yes, you're right. Do or do not. There is no try. And it's the kind of thing, if you try to explain, like if somebody says, I'm going to try that, I just want to say, don't, it doesn't work. You have to be that. It's like, some people have said, you know what I mean? It's like I've had people say to me, wow, I wish I had good trips like you have. And I say, well, here's the thing. I'm going to say it's good even if it wasn't. So I've already decided before I've left that it's a good trip. I'm not waiting to see, I wonder how this is going to be. I've already said, oh, it's going to be fantastic because all of our trips are. And if something horrible happened, I probably wouldn't tell you, or I would spin it in a way that would make it part of an even better story. So because of that, the universe bends toward my vision. It's not a matter of me saying, I hope this works out. No, I can already tell you it's going to work out because I'm going to see the upside to it. I'm going to find a silver lining to that cloud. And some people say, well, you're just being, amen, amen. Some people could say, you're just being too optimistic or too positive. Fine, interpret it however you will. It's just I've already decided I'm gonna be happy, I'm going to be successful, I'm going to be blessed. So because I've already decided that, it already is. There is, but now here's where yes, it is the tree of life. But here's where the breathing comes in. And since you mentioned tree of life, he says, first Adam, living soul, last Adam, life-giving spirit. So you've got first Adam, second Adam. Tree of the knowledge of good and evil, tree of life. Old Testament, New Testament. I mean, you could go right down the yin and the yang. There's two different realities you can live in. Now, I've heard this come up several times lately where somebody has said, I wanted to do something. I believed something was going to happen. I spoke it, whatever. And then it kind of looked like it wasn't going to happen, and I let it go. And I think, stay with me, though. I think there's something to that, though. Now, hear me where I'm going with this. It's kind of why the law of attraction guys talk so much about detachment. And I know where y'all are going when you said don't let it go. Yes, you're right about that. But just hear me out on this, because there's okay. I'll give you an example. Last night I was listening. I was in the car and I was listening to an interview with Bloomberg, the guy that was the mayor of New York who ran for president. And somebody, whoever was interviewing him, said, "How did you feel? Are you sorry that you didn't qualify as a candidate," or whatever he said. And he went through this lengthy, no, my life's better because I could be a philanthropist, whatever. And it's not that I disagree with what he was saying. But if I had run for president and someone had asked me that and I lost, this is what I would say. I would say, you know, if I had gotten it, it would have been awesome. When I didn't get it, I was relieved. Do you understand? So that it's a win-win. It's like there's things that have happened before. It's like when a loved one crosses over. You feel two things simultaneously. I think today's the date of your mom passing. I think it was 4 years ago today because it was in my memories. Tomorrow. Of course you're sad. And of course you're relieved. How do you feel both things? Do you want them to come back and suffer? Absolutely not. Are you in pain that they're gone? Of course you are. That's only natural. And this is what I'm learning my subconscious has learned more from meditation than my conscious mind understands. Because there is something to breathing. The inhale is, I'm believing this is going to happen. The exhale is, I'm okay if it doesn't. Now, it doesn't mean you're being double-minded. It's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego saying, we believe God will deliver us from this fiery furnace. But even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow to Nebuchadnezzar. What that does is it empowers them to say, you're not calling the shots on this. And if you think about it, if you remember that story, Nebuchadnezzar threatens them with, I'm going to make the furnace 7 times hotter. Okay. Like, I mean, well, it's such a stupid thing to say. Like, so I'm going to burn in a nanosecond as opposed to a half nanosecond. I mean, like, knock yourself out. While you're at it, make it 100 times hotter. Like, so it went, once those guys said, one way or the other, we're not bowing, then now the furnace has no power over them. And that's what I was saying about something as simple as the fireworks. If the fireworks had happened, I'll go so far as to say this. If it had rained, I would say, well, it's not going to ruin it. It's still beautiful. The beach is beautiful in the rain. We'll go under one of these pavilions and it'll be fine. And I'll still say, well, for the 6 of them, we had perfect weather. But because I've already decided, because even driving down there, you know, it was raining, right? And I had my little talk with the clouds. I said, clouds, I love you. We need you. I'm not telling you to go away. I don't want a drought. But if you could please not rain on Jekyll Island till Sunday afternoon, I would personally appreciate it. I love you. I honor you. I respect the role that you play in nature. I need you. I don't hate clouds. Yes. That's, yes. He said you honored it. It's like, it's the reason why you run something by someone out of respect. Do you know what I mean? It's like sometimes, like back when I had the church, you know, evangelical world is weird and political and everybody's got issues with everybody. And sometimes I would have somebody at the church that I knew had an issue with somebody else that I was friends with. And maybe they'd gone on TBN and said something about it. And I would call that person and say, look, I'm just covering my base. If you happen to notice, I'm having what's his name next week. He's, you know, and I understand y'all have had drama, but I don't have any issue with him. And I want to make sure is that, and sometimes I would even say before I scheduled him to say he really wants to come for a meeting. If this is going to damage our relationship, I won't do it. And invariably, the other person would say, thank you for running it by me. And because you said it that way, because if I had just looked on your website and saw him up there, I'd be like, what the heck? You know what? But since you ran it by, it's because you're honoring. Like over the years, so many people didn't get this in church world. Like somebody would come to me and say, well, you know, after the fact, like for instance, like somebody be having a Bible study in the church. I don't care if people are having Bible studies. But that was my parish. It was, you know, I am the spiritual voice there. And if I would find out about it later that I didn't heard about it, it would be a red flag to me. I'd be like, that's interesting. Why are they meeting in their home? Or whatever? Whereas if they had just come to me and said, I'm thinking about having some people over, we're going to say the Bible, these are all people that go to your church. Are you cool with it? I'd be like, oh, yeah, it's fine, sure. Do you understand? It's like, it's how you present it. You're honoring the authority of someone. I had a whole group of people. It was funny because this pastor was here about 3 weeks ago. He sat in the back. I didn't even know he was there. I told him if I'd known that was you sitting back there, I would have preached better. But, no, I can't. How can I possibly get better? I mean, come on. This is as good as it gets. This is the end of the rainbow. Anyway, I mean, I wish I didn't think that, but I do think that. I think not everybody knows that, but some people will hear that as arrogance. Some people will say it thundered. You know what I mean? It's like, I mean, you know, Jesus said before Abraham was, I am. I mean, you either know it or you don't. But there was a group of people that went to Peru and didn't tell me. And not only did they not tell me about it, most of them I had introduced to Peru. I had taken them down there initially. Some of them I had paid their way there. And all I said was, why didn't y'all tell me you were going? They said, well, you know, you're a control freak. And you went, I said, no, here's the thing. I said, let's say, God forbid, there was a plane crash. And somebody calls me and says, there's this group of 30 people from your church that went to Peru. What do you have to say about it? And I'm like, I had no idea they were going. So all this group got mad at me and went to this guy's church who's not even there now. He was here back in the back a few weeks ago. And so I called him. I said, look, it's fine that they're going to your church, but let me just ask you this. If there was a group from your church that went to a foreign country with an official missions trip and didn't tell you anything about it, what would you do? He said, I would have kicked them all out of the church. I said, well, just so you know, they're all coming to your church now. So I'm just giving you a heads up. And these people didn't get it. They were like, you don't, you know, God told us to go. I'm like, wow, y'all are so out of control. I hate when church world, when they play the God card. It's like, God told me, so now you've boxed me and I can't say anything. I'm like, oh, Lord. Christians wear me out. I have several people that, like even somebody very close to me who always feels that they have to Christianize me a little bit. They posted something and I said, oh, that's awesome. That looks really awesome. And they were like, God is awesome. I'm like, oh. Okay, baby. God is awesome. Wow. There you have it. Anyway, when I'm talking about breathe, let me just, I'm going to be actually a little shorter today, literally. Let me just show you three quick quotes about breathing and explain to you where I'm going with this. This feelings come and go like clouds in a windy sky. Conscious breathing is my anchor. You've read that before. Here's another one. Amit Ray says, if you want to conquer the anxiety of life, live in the moment, live in the breath. And then this last one is, observe your own body. It breathes. You breathe when you are asleep, when you are no longer conscious of your own ideas of self-identity. Who then is breathing? The collection of information that you mistakenly think is you is not the main protagonist in this drama called the breath. In fact, you are not breathing. Breath is naturally happening to you. You can purposely end your own life, but you cannot purposely keep your own life going. The expression, my life, is actually an oxymoron, a result of ignorance and mistaken assumption. You don't possess life. Life possesses itself through you. Your body is a flower that life let bloom, a phenomenon created by life. Something about this really resonates with me, and let me explain to you why. You know, I rode all the waves of the charismatic movement, including the Word of Faith movement, and I love the Word of Faith movement. I love what it taught me, everything I learned about speaking to the mountain, the authority of the believer, you have what you say. All of those things I learned from people that were considered great faith teachers. Some of them have passed on or I've moved away from them in some ways, but those basic tenets of even visualization and words, all, you know, they didn't realize it, how mystical they were, but that really is mysticism. And mysticism is not a bad word to me. I have no negative energy on that word. Jesus was a mystic. All the prophets were mystics. It's not a bad thing. But the downside to what happened with the faith message is we talked so much about you stand in faith and you get a hold of the word and you pray that scripture and you pray it through and you're not moved by what you see. And there's a certain validity to that. It's the inhaling. Understand? There is some time when you're like, I'm going to hope against hope. And you hold that breath. And then there's other times where you say, I need to let this thing go. And it's not being double-minded. It's what you were saying in that thing. It's the yin and the yang. It's the breathing. Because every time I've taken you through meditation, like I'm always like, I start with inhale through your nose, hold it, exhale with your mouth. And there's a biological reason for that. Doc Sheila's talking to me about it. But every time I do it, something in me says, this is teaching us something that's more than we even know. There's something about balance and harmony and again, not letting it go, not giving up. Let me say it that way. It's breath. It's like, we're going to have great weather on Jekyll Island next weekend. We're going to have a wonderful time regardless of the weather. Now, people who are not spiritually minded think that's a contradiction in terms, but it is not. It's breath. If all you do is inhale, you're going to die. If all you do is exhale, you're going to die. It's about oxygen, carbon dioxide. It's like there's a, it's going on all the time. And I love what this writer says about, some of you may use a CPAP machine or you, whatever, so you're conscious of needing some help with breathing, but you don't, it's go to sleep at night and say, don't forget to breathe, right? You don't put it on your to-do list, things to do today, don't forget to breathe. And even when my watch says breathe, I was already breathing. It's really what it's saying is become conscious of your breath. And there's a really special dance that happens between intention and detachment. Intention and detachment. Inhale, exhale. I've got it. I'm going to be fine if I don't have it. And I believe your subconscious has to get it. I don't know that you can make your mind do that, because don't you find there are people on both sides? There are people that just hope against hope no matter what. And there's other people that they never believe for anything. I don't want either of those things to happen, because here's the deal. The inhaling and the exhaling of my physical body does keep me alive. I don't consider one superior to the other. You know, when Whitney Houston and that group of women met, Waiting to Exhale? Was that a Toni Morrison book? She just passed. I'm trying to remember if that was. Huh? Oh, Terry McMillan, okay. But the whole Waiting to Exhale is, these are women who had drama in their lives, and it's the idea of Waiting to Exhale is, when do I ever get off this cycle of drama? So there is a certain truth to that. Like, when does it ever stop? When does the drama stop happening? I think the answer is in between the breathing. It's the breath. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let your spirit hear what I'm saying right now. Because I'm not teaching you faith right now. I'm saying inhale, hold it, and exhale. There's a rhythm that comes into your life of saying, you're going to be alive no matter what. But in the breathing, it's like, even something as simple as today. Avery put a message on the page we have where we do the technical stuff, and she said there's an issue with the projector. The guy's not supposed to be here till 1 o'clock, so they're going to move us to theater 2. It's fine. I mean, you're closed, whatever, but it's fine. There was no reason to even be upset about it. You know why that's important? The people back there who had to come here long before I got here today were fine. Like, there wasn't one person who wrote in there like, oh crap, now what? Good God, it's something all the time with that theater. It's like, no, it's just a thing. And the more you get in the rhythm of breathing, you stop creating so much melodrama. Most of the drama in your life is self-inflicted. It just is. And if you got really angry that I just said that, I am particularly talking to you. Absolutely. And again, it's like, I'm not saying don't believe for the best. It's big picture, it's always best. But there's something about You know, these attraction guys keep saying, I read their quotes and they say so much about what you resist persists, what you resist persists, what you resist persists. And I think, man, no wonder there's so much devil consciousness in Christian churches, because they've been taught so much about resisting the devil, resisting the devil, resisting the devil, that they have, they're nearly devil worshipers, and they don't realize, they don't even realize it. And when you're out of that system, I've told you this before, but a few years ago I went deep sea fishing with a group of guys from where my dad's church was. Sweet guys, some of them I've been friends with for years. I appreciated that they invited me to go. It was fun. You know, I like being out on the ocean. I had a good time. But being around them, I was amazed, because I hadn't been around people who thought like this in a long time. And I was struck in our conversations how many times their sentences would be prefaced with, well, the enemy knows. The enemy knows if he can get you to do so and so. I didn't hear anybody say anything about Jesus. He's like, well, the enemy knows, and the way that things are in the last days, the enemy knows, the enemy knows. I'm like, wow, this is the good ship enemy. I haven't been around this much devil talk in years. I mean, you're not even creeping me out. I'm going to tell you, the devil does not creep me out. My favorite Smith Wiggle, if you know who Smith Wigglesworth was, my favorite Smith Wigglesworth story is he woke up one night and Satan in bodily form was sitting on his bed, and he looked at him and he said, oh, it's only you. And he laid back down and went to sleep. I thought, that's power. But, I mean, you've seen it before. I've been around these groups that everything's about spiritual warfare, and it's affected their politics and their conspiracy theories, and it's affected the way they think about the country, because everything's about, you know, it's the end of time and all this. And I understand it, because I came out of that. I know what that's like to hear, it's the end of the world, it's the end of the world. I mean, I'm 61 years old and heard most of my life, it's the end of the world. I mean, who's laughing back there? It sounded like Miss Sophia's laugh. You know, they're all at the table. I love that laugh. You know, when she's all messed up because the white people got her and her eyes all funky. She won't answer anybody. You okay, Miss Sophia? Yeah. How you feeling? Confused. But then, in a little bit, she starts getting her groove back. You know, she's like going, and that's like, uh-oh. And the guy that played Mr. Adolf Caesar goes, well, the dead has arisen. Sophia home now. Pass me them peas. Right? That's what I heard back there, whoever it was. I haven't done Color Purple in a long time. I need. Alice Walker was just a couple of weeks ago, and you know, she's from Eatonton, where Ken's from. We've gone to the church where she grew up in, and her relatives are buried across the street. And she was there the other day was she signing some books or stuff? Because some of your friends went. Oh, is that what it was? It was her birthday? Yeah, a lot of, what's his name? Joel Chandler Harris is also from there. He the guy that wrote the Uncle Remus stories, which some people think are racially insensitive. They actually are. They were fables from slaves that came. They were African fables that he turned it, you know, Brer Rabbit, Brer Fox. So, and first time I went to the church Ken grew up in, I'm looking, they've got a historical marker. I said, Joel Chandler Harris went to your church. And he said, how do you know that? I said, it's on this sign. He said, I've never even looked at that sign. I said, how many, you have walked by this sign your entire life and you never just went, what does it say? He said, nope, never thought about it. I said, that's why you needed to meet me. I could show you the signs. Anyway, that's what I want. I'm not going to lead you in meditation today or even this month, but I want on the tail end of us being there, at this seventh meditation weekend, Don't underestimate the profound things happened to you in that environment. I mean, even doing it at the ocean, I could even make a case for the tide going in and out. It's like it's all, if you start looking at it, that rhythm is everywhere. It's day and night. It's the seasons. It's the, and you can't, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to be really unhappy if you always resist the seasons. Like yesterday, I had to go to the store, and it was 98 degrees. I'm walking. I thought, man, it is really hot out here. You know, it is what it is. I mean, whatever you think about global warming or whatever, I mean, this isn't a political argument. I'm just saying it's hot. It was 80 degrees at the North Pole recently. But it's summertime. I mean, it's always been hot in the summer. That's why, you know, when you listen to some of these PSAs about, you know, you may be sick, you know, you can't listen to those too much because you'll have about 17 of the symptoms. Do you get hot in the summer? I do. Are you thirsty after eating salty food? Call 911. Are you tired at the end of the day? Do your feet hurt? Like, oh my God, I'm going to drive myself over there right now. Of course it's hot in the summertime. And the more you, I'll use the word gripe. If I didn't have the microphone, I'd use a different word. The more you resist it, the hotter it becomes. Do you know what I mean? That's why I used to, for years, say, fall is my favorite season. About a year ago, I stopped saying that. I thought, no, all the seasons are my favorite seasons. Because if I put all my eggs in that basket, I'm setting myself up to have three disappointing seasons. And there's things about each of them that just is what it is. Yeah, it's hot. And in the, it's like even, and I was thinking about this when we were out on the sidewalk at 2 o'clock this morning, because we celebrated Jonah's birthday last night, and we took an Uber over to where the restaurant. So on the way back, I was talking to the Uber driver. Oh yeah, that was all of us. It was a good time. So on the way back, I was talking to the Uber driver. He said, he must live out in the suburbs somewhere. And he said, how do you like living in the city? And I said, well, I mean, I'm looking right there. There's homeless people sleeping on the side. I mean, it is what it is. It's a city. It's like people say, there's so much traffic in the city. Like, yeah, it's a city. A lot of people are here and they have cars. Avery and I were talking about it Thursday. I said, you know, it's a matter, like, I can go to my window where I live and I can stand there and I can take a picture of the skyline, and it's beautiful. Even with this new building, it's definitely changed the vision I have, but I still see the skyline, and it's a cool looking building, and I'm going to be overlooking a pool, and so it's fine. And I had years of being able to see the Great Vista. It's fine. But I can go like that, and I can take that picture and I can post it, and people go, oh my God, your view is so beautiful. And they always do. I could go just like that, and I could take a picture of a homeless man that's sleeping on the other side of a fence, and I could do a whole post about homelessness in Atlanta, and people would say, wow, you know, is that where you live? Yeah, that's where I live. Both of those things are realities. I'm not ignoring that down there. I'm just saying, this is what I choose to see up here. And very regularly during the week, I'll give money to somebody. The magic words I always wait for. Somebody says, do you have any change? No, I don't, because I don't. I don't carry change or cash. If somebody says, I'm hungry, can you get me something to eat? I'm like, let's go. I've never in my life turned anybody down who was hungry. It's like, I'm always waiting for it. If you got to know the magic words. If you say you got some money, can you buy me a meal? You got me. I'm saying that the breath of life is it's in everything. We had, what, 36 people? Some people weren't able to come this last weekend, but for our seventh trip in a little over a year to still have 36 people, that's kind of amazing. When we were up in, what's the part? Unicoi. It was snowing up there, and so we rented that facility over, which was turned out beautiful. It had a fireplace and everything. It was great. But when we went to the office, we're talking to the lady. She said, "What do you want it for?" I said, "I have a meditation group." And she said, "How long have you been planning this?" I said, "I don't know, a few weeks." "How many do you have coming?" I said, "I don't know. We had 50 or so. I don't remember. Maybe been 35. I don't remember. I always see more people than are actually there." But she was like, "Oh my God, you got that many people coming." And I just hearing her say that, I thought, "Yeah, this is kind of amazing, isn't it?" She said, "Have you ever done this before?" And I said, "I think this is our fifth one." And she's like, "Wow, how do you do it?" I said, "Everybody finds their own room, and I just put a messenger thread, and they all show up." It's like she was blown away by that, because what she does is coordinate events that are a huge hassle. And I'm like, "No, you just put a picture up and say we're going here, and then you do a messenger thread, and everybody shows up. And if they can't show up, they cancel." Everybody's like, "What? Well, it's a miracle." See, I think sometimes you live in the miraculous so much, it's like breathing. You don't notice you're breathing. You don't think about it. I'm going to put a comma right there, but that's what I want. This is what I want you to understand from this. Stand in faith. I even posted this. I wrote some good stuff this week. I got to tell you, I was on fire. Francis even got online. I still haven't got anything yet, but it's out there. Francis said, "Y'all need to give to him." I'm like, "Heck yeah!" I didn't say heck. She put it out there. But I mean, I was reading some of it, stuff I've revamped from previous stuff I've written, but it's good. And I had never written this before, but I said, sometimes you need to know to speak to the mountain and command it to cast into the sea, and there's other times you need to know when to climb over on top of that mountain and look at your world from a different elevated vantage point. What? You're welcome. But I thought that's right, because sometimes getting rid of the obstacles, not best case scenario. When I write, when somebody says I've got a need or whatever, and I say believing for the best, that's not a cop-out. I am believing for the best, and somewhere between the breaths is the best. That's why when somebody says, what we're praying, I'm like, "Well, what are we praying for?" Well, they're in the hospital. Well, that could mean anything. Does that mean let's pray the procedure goes well? Does that mean pray that I get out of here tomorrow? I mean, there's 1,000 things you could put. Just don't assume. I mean, I've said this to you over and over again, but think about it. Jesus asked a blind man, "What do you want?" It would be out of line for him to say, "I'm going to heal you. I'm going to make you see." Because you don't. That may not be what the man wants or is believing for. You can't. It is inappropriate. It is disrespectful to pull the caterpillar out of the cocoon if it's not ready. And that's why the whole namaste concept is so important. If that's where somebody's at, "I'm hoping because I'm standing on the word," then okay, good. Yay, there's validity to that. But there's also an exhale. And one way or the other, it's all going to be good. Do you understand? I'm not talking about surrender in the sense of, I guess it's not going to work. It's, I'm going to be okay no matter what happens. I mean, even to the point, and I taught this years ago, that there's no bad scenario. You either get what you're believing for, or if not, it just means something better than what you, like you were aiming too low. Like what you thought you wanted, there was actually something so much better. Just like saying when a indigent person asked me for something, I think, "You have no idea. I would, if you asked me," because I have done this before, I mean, I when I walk to the parking lot in my grocery store, there's usually somebody out there going, man, you got some change? No, I don't have any on me, but I can't do it today. Once in a blue moon, there'll be somebody saying, man, I'm hungry. Can you get me something? Come inside with me. I've got my debit card. Really? Can I get this? Yeah, it's fine. Get it. Because they made a specific demand. If they just say, you got some change? Wow, you aimed really low. Do you know what I mean? And to, every time that happens, I think, wow, that's the way God, the universe, whatever. Like, I nearly titled this, You Have Not Because You Ask Not. But I wanted to take it more in the whole concept of inhale, exhale, because I think there's more to it that I don't even know I know yet, and I will know by this time next week. And I'm assuming we'll be over there. If the theater's not here next week, or in Jekyll Island, you don't know. You don't know where we may be. Let's all stand. Did you get anything out of this today? Yeah, y'all can't stand and clap at the same time. Did you get anything out of this today? Everybody, inhale through your nose. Hold it. Exhale through your mouth. Inhale. Hold it. Exhale. Inhale. Hold it. Exhale. Let me say this before you go. This whole thing about the last Adam is a living soul. I mean, the first Adam is a living soul. The last Adam is a life-giving spirit. And I'll get more into this next week, but let me give you a little preview. You're supposed to become a life-giving spirit to the point that you're so, you've been breathed into so perfectly that you have everything you need, and now you're just in the mode to give life wherever you go. There's, you know, you already got yours. Now you're just nothing but a blessing everywhere you go. Like, all kidding aside about my meditations, people say, why do you do that twice a day? Because I want to make people's lives better. I really, there's no motive. It's like, that makes me feel good. That makes me enjoy. Like, I know stuff. I want to share stuff. And I do love that little endorphin rush you get when somebody says, oh my God, it's exactly what I need to hear today. Like, yay, good. That makes me happy to hear that. So I'll get more into the life-giving spirit part next week. All right. Please remain standing and we'll play this for the YouTubians.
Contributing to Metron is quick and easy.
Easy peasy.
You can give anytime using any smartphone.
Anytime.
Text the amount you'd like to donate to 404-620-5044. You will then receive a notification that you successfully completed your donation. You may also visit missionthenow.com and click the support tab to give there as well. When you contribute to Metron, you're also donating to the charity or organization of the month. Thank you for your investment into Metron.
If you have a check, make it to JESM. Danny will receive that back there. And if you have cash, just pay it forward. It could be a blessing. You might want to, if Marshall's to hear, you might want to get it. Yeah, Jack. No doubt about it. Jack was, because this is what Jack does. He installs sprinklers. And he said, that might have been an inconvenience for you to go, but it might have saved somebody else's life. And I thought the same thing. And that goes in line with what I'm saying. Was it an inconvenience? Yes. Am I going to take a nap this afternoon? Yes. Am I happy that it might have saved somebody? Absolutely.
Yes.
Right. That's why even I posted this the other day, but it was back in my memories that I was in the food court at the mall and realized I had dropped out a $50 bill. And I rarely carry cash with me, but I did have a 50. And I was like, oh, man, I can't believe I did that. And then I thought, you know, I'm just going to count this a pay it forward, because me losing $50 isn't going to really make a dent in my world. There was a time in my life it would have, but not, you know, it's a bother. But there might be somebody today that 50 bucks is going to change their life. So I think, all right, then I'm going to call this a pay it forward. And whoever received it, they're going to get blessed. And somehow, even though I don't know who that person is, I'm going to get a return on that. That's the breathing. It's like, I lost $50. Somebody's going to be blessed by it. 2 o'clock in the morning, I might have saved somebody's life. Man, you're going to be so much happier when you start breathing. That's the only thing that's wrong with you. You haven't been breathing enough. You got to inhale. You got to exhale. Bye.